thank you, Brother Baxter. Good evening, friends. This is a grand privilege to be here tonight in Edmonton after having a great revival here 2 years ago. It's always been my heart's desire to get back to my lovely friends at Edmonton. I appreciate your letters since I have been gone and all that you have done in praying for me through the success of God's work. And we thought it would be very nice tonight if we could stop over and share the blessings of God with you for this one night. Wish we could stay longer. I have to hurry right home. I have to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning to be going to hurry right back again for another service. And it's been a constant goal since we have left here, and the Lord has been good to us to help us minister to His people. I'm thankful for this bunch of ministers here on the platform tonight and many others of the groups that represented here. You're all very dear to me. You're God's servants. I've always known this, and I found this in my life of ministry, is this. If you want to serve God, serve His people. That's how you serve. If we love one another, we love God. And I love His people, and I'm doing all that I know how to try to represent our Lord Jesus Christ to Him in a way of His divine mercy and powers that He has given to the church in this last day. Now, I was very much carried away with Brother Baxter's talk tonight. That's the first time, you know, since he's been managing the meeting, that I've ever sat on the platform and heard him speak. The first time in years that I've known Mr. Baxter, about 5 years. It's always the meaning that I'm out praying, getting ready, seeking God, and praying and fasting before meetings. That's usually the procedure. I never get into the meetings until that time to come out in, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and go out into praying to the sick. And I certainly like the way he presented that, and that's the way that I've always tried to represent it to the people, that many magazines and so forth has represented me as a divine healer and so forth. But friends, that's wrong. I'm your brother. I'm no divine healer. I'm just one of you. If you will let me, then God be blessed to bring me into your soul. There's many men here sitting here by me that's probably preaching the gospel when I was a baby. And I feel very humble to be standing here tonight before a minister who are aged and preached the word so long, who's paved the road and made it easy for me to come. What if they hadn't preached it on me before this was manifested? Then I'd have had an awful road to go. But by their help and what they have stood for, I want to come in confirmation of what they preached. And I'm very grateful to those brothers. Thinking of sometimes when life is all over, and the last prayer is said here on earth, and the Bible closed, and you come down to the end of the road, enter into His joys up there, and I just wonder when a great supper is set, the last supper, down along the line for the thousands of miles, we're set across the table from each other. I tell you, that's a real glorious time, isn't it? We look across the table to one of our CEO's veterans who fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. I guess we'll shake each other's hands, and no doubt a little tear drop down his cheeks, but the tear will come out and wipe the tears from her eyes and say, "Don't cry, it's all over now, we're home." And that's what I look forward to, friends, for that day. I tried, under opposition, of course, many times, to represent Jesus Christ as a healer. Thereby just being misunderstood, people call me the healer, but I couldn't heal no one, and neither is there anyone on earth to heal anyone. Healing only lays in Jesus Christ. Here recently, I was reading an article in a paper to see, and that's what causes many people, no doubt this fundamentalist and so forth, sending me tonight. I've really brought up our name in the fundamentalist church in the letter of the Baptist. But here's, many times, here's what causes them to criticize on the full gospel people. An article was written in a paper here now on the to a man that said, "The Lord gave me the gift of divine healing. Said he'd come down in the room and pick me up and set me up before his throne and set me down and said, 'Son,' he said, 'I'm giving you the gift of divine healing.' Quickly, that's wrong. There is no such a thing as the gift of divine healing. There's no such a thing in the scripture. And he said, 'I'm giving you power to open blind eyes, to unstop deaf ears, to cast out demons, to make the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, and return back to earth and so forth and do this.' Now, I'm not here to say that God didn't do that. If God can do what He wants to, I can tell Him what to do. But if He did that, He certainly has got His word in step. And He certainly taken it away from Jesus Christ when He gave it to the man. If you bought me a suit of clothes and the purchasing price of that suit of clothes was $50 and you gave me $50, it's not yours anymore. It's mine. And if you gave him power to open blinded eyes, to unstop deaf ears, it doesn't belong to Calvary anymore. It belongs to me. Now, that might be all right. God might have said he did that. Now, the thing I want to see it do, I want to see it work. And I'll believe it when it works. But God, in his scripture, we try to stay strictly with the Bible. And that's the only foundation that I know of, friends, is that is God's Word. And as long as it's based upon God's Word, then God will be behind it and confirm his Word. See? And as far as divine healing, as soon as the boy came in, of course, the spirit of discernment, to understand, many of them didn't know what it was. The boy came in, I seen him come out, Mr. Baxter, there's the boy go down right away. God doesn't help him in his cancer. And he went down and talked to the boy, came back, so that's exactly right. See, that's knowing things. That's different. That doesn't heal people. As many of us been in the meeting this week at Grand Prairie. You see students and so forth, which is revealed and told to people, why, that cannot be hid. That's true. That's a divine gift. But healing is in Calvary. See, it's your faith there. Now, a gift of healing doesn't mean that man heals somebody. It means a man that's got faith in divine healing that can point them to the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. How many of us have been saved in the last 10 years? Let's see your hands. Been saved in the last 10 years. I don't want to differ with you, but you wasn't saved in the last 10 years. You were saved 1,900 years ago, and you accepted in the last 10 years. Is that right? That's right. See, you were saved 1,900 years ago when Jesus Christ paid the price for the sins of the world. Is that right at Calvary? And he was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes, we were healed 1,900 years ago. Therefore, every person in this building tonight that's sick has been healed since 1,900 years ago when Jesus died. That's where God did everything that he could do for the human race, and he did it in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Now, the only thing that a divine gift can do is to stir your faith to that. Ministers preach the gospel, which is just as good as anything else could be done, better. If a person can just take God at his word and see the word finished there at Calvary and accept it in their own life, that settles it right there. That's all is necessary. Then God in his goodness, after that, has sent gifts besides that into the church to manifest his love and his promises to his people. See what I mean? But every individual must look to Calvary. That's where it comes from, is Calvary. Now, just like this, God put the blood of Jesus Christ in a deposit box at Calvary to heal all manner of sickness and diseases and give every believer a checkbook with his name signed on the bottom of it. The only thing you have to do is fill out the check and send it in for any redemptive blessings that Jesus Christ died for. You believe that? Don't be afraid. If John D. Rockefeller would offer me a check tonight to build a new church for $1 million, I wouldn't be afraid to fill it out. No, sir, because I believe John D. Rockefeller is worth it. And if Jesus Christ offered me a check tonight that for my sickness that he healed me at Calvary, I'm not afraid to fill it out and hand it in there. Go testifying that God has healed me. No matter what the result is, I believe Jesus told the truth. See? That's where it comes from. It's what you believe, your attitude toward Jesus. Look at St. Mark 11:24. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. That's the order of the word now. Believe now you receive it, and it shall be given unto you. Is that right? You shall have whatever you've asked for if you believe it. Well, now, if Jesus paid for it there, well, I believe it, I accept it, believe it, and go testifying. God has brought the... How many believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself? That all the great powers that the Father had was given all the powers of the Father. But when he met Satan, watch where he brought it to. For the weakest Christian here tonight, he never used any of his divine gifts. When Satan comes in and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus said, it is written, the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Again he was tested, and Jesus said, it is written. The third time he was tested, and Jesus said, it is written. Is that right? Right to the word of God, showing that the weakest Christian can defeat Satan by it is written. If you believe the word of God teaches it, believe it, accept it, hang on to it, God will bring it to pass. Don't you believe that? It is written. Now remember this, I'll make this quotation, that the word of God will defeat Satan anywhere, anytime, any place, on any condition. The word of God alone, it is written, will defeat Satan no matter who he is, what form he comes in, where he's at, it'll defeat Satan. Now that is true. The written word of God. Now, and now here's another statement I want you to remember. And you especially hear this so sick, studying here, these cancer cases and so forth tonight. Well, that the right mental attitude
towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Can you understand what I mean? The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you will take the right mental attitude towards anything God has promised, God's under obligation to see that you get it. That's right, because He's promised it. Now, many times people misunderstand the meetings, and since I've seen you, there's been many, many things that's happened, and you probably kept up with it through the newspapers and so forth. By the way, did you read the Reader's Digest this month on the article that was in there about my services in California? And they had it straight. I told the man when he come down, he said there, I didn't ask nothing, but told the boy what was wrong with it. And with the medical help, if they'd be careful, the boy would get over that, and he did. The boy died later, but not with the disease. So a nurse would let a window up and get a draft across him, and the child take a pneumonia and died, but not with the disease. See? Now, when God is under obligation to His Word, now here's what takes place, friends. Now, in the coming meeting in June, if God willing, I'd like to come in first, come so we'll have plenty of time. Our meetings have always been too rushed, and across the nations we found it so. I guess since we've been here, by God's grace, and we've led to Christ right in our own meetings around 350,000 souls to Christ in the past 5 or 6 years. In one day alone, in South Africa, 30,000 raw heathens came to Jesus Christ in one single meeting in one day. 30,000 raw heathens, when they see the manifestation of the Spirit of God given for the witch doctors and everything else trying to find out what they could, and found that they couldn't stand before it and give up and surrender themselves to God. And with 30,000 in one day received Jesus Christ, breaking their idols, washing their face from Mohammedanism and so forth, and become Christians in one day. After seeing a man walk on his hands and feet like a dog, I said, of course, I can't heal the man. No one knows that. I mean, everyone knows that I can't heal the man, but now his life cannot be healed. Now, I want you to understand this, the Christian family. So I'll give you a little preview. How many here is to be prayed for? Let's see your hands. Wants to be prayed for? Not anywhere in the building. Just raise up your hand. I want to see your hand. Oh, my, it'll be almost hopeless for you. But I'll pray for you. But I want you to notice this. How many has been in the meetings and sees the way the Holy Spirit moves and works with the people? Let's see your hand. How it tells them what they've done and the reason that you can't be healed and they have to go make these things right and some things they've done in their life and so forth. You've seen it in the meetings. People sometimes wonder, that's what makes them get a superstition about the ministry that the Lord has given. I just want to ask you one simple question, and then you be the judge yourself. Now, how many in this building believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? All right. Thank you for your confidence in our Lord. Now, if He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we'll have to have some conception of what He is and His work is in order to see who He is. Is that right? We'll have to know something the way He did. Now let's trace back just a little bit to His life and see what He did. When He was on earth, the Bible said He made Himself no reputation, yet He was the Creator. The man who made your false teeth, he got a reputation for doing that. But the man who made them first had no reputation. The man who made an artificial arm made Himself a reputation. But the man who made your real arm made of himself no reputation. Is that right? He was a humble man. And he didn't claim to be anything within himself. He gave all praise to the Father God. Is that right? Now, we notice when his ministry started, now I just want you to watch his ministry. When his ministry started, they began to realize that there was something supernatural about the man. The Pharisees, as Brother Baxter just got through saying, they could not figure it out. He knew the people. He knew their thoughts. He knew their hearts. He knew what was going on. And they said, well, now, perhaps it's mental telepathy or psychology. And after a while, they've seen the miracles and things that followed his ministry. Psychology won't do. And mental telepathy won't produce. So then the only thing they could do, they couldn't figure it out, so they branded it with their own brand. It's the devil. He's the chief fortune teller of the bunch. He's Beelzebub. And they sent him away. Now notice. Now, there was a man named Philip who got saved, and he went to find his friend Nathaniel. And he said, come see who I found, Jesus of Nazareth, the one that Moses spoke of. Now, watch this closely now. And Nathanael, a good man, he said, could any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, come see. And when he was coming, Jesus standing in the prayer line, perhaps, praying for the sick or whatever he was doing. And when he seen Nathanael coming up, he said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And it astonished the Israelite, and he said, whence knowest thou me? Rabbi, reverend, elder, teacher, whatever we should call. He said, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. Is that right? Now, Nathanael didn't try to say, now, he's reading my mind. He's doing it. He said, he's the Son of God, the King of Israel. A woman one time at the well, he said, he had need to go by Samaria. And when a woman, probably a prostitute, who came out to the wells about 11 o'clock when he sent the disciples away for bread. Now watch this. He said to her, bring me a drink, just a bit of conversation. She said, well, it's not customary for the Jews to ask Samaritans since they have no dealings. You know the story? He said, but if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink. And I'd give you water, and you didn't come here to drink. She said, the well is deep and so forth. He said, what was he trying to do? He was hunting her spirit. And as soon as he got in that dimension of where her spirit was, he said, go get your husband. Right straight to her trouble. She said, I have no husband. He said, you said, well, you have five, and the one you have now is not your husband. She said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. She ran into the city and told the people to come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Now watch what kind of a man we're talking about. Here he comes to the pool of Bethesda, where great multitudes, if I'm taught right, one multitude consists of over 2,000. And if there's multitudes, there's perhaps 10,000 people laying there. Now watch St. John 5. Look at the condition of these people. They were lame, halt, blind, withered, twisted, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel came down into the pool at a certain season. Whosoever stepping in first was healed of whatsoever disease they had. And here comes Jesus now. Now watch this lovely one. Do you believe he loved the people? Do you believe he was the Son of God? He was full of compassion? Love the people with all of his heart? Sure he did. Now here he comes, full of love, suffering humanity, oh how he loved them. Here he comes down to this pool where this great mass of people is. Now, he always had compassion upon the people. But he moves right down, and here stands an old dad, perhaps, standing there, twisted with arthritis, saying, somebody help me in the pool. And our lovely Jesus passes right by him. Here stands a mother with a baby, with a water head, perhaps. Oh, somebody help me to get in the pool first with my darling baby. Jesus passes right by her. Here was a man she had to carry. He was crippled and lame. Somebody help me in the pool. He passed right by. Here was a blind man. Oh, have mercy on me. I've been blind for years. Somebody help me in the pool when the water's troubled. Thousands of them. Jesus passed right by every one of them and went over to a man that had an infirmity for 38 years. Sugar diabetes or TB or something, the man could walk. He said, when I'm coming down to the pool, another step's ahead of me. Is that true? Read St. John 5 and see if it isn't. That's right. Now, nobody doubts for what St. John 5 is inspired, you see. Now, he walked right by every one of those cripples, walked out of there and knew that the man had been in this condition 38 years, and he said, would you be made whole? And he healed the man that had been laying up on this affliction or this disease, and walked right away from that multitude and left them poor old mothers and daddies and babies and all of them laying there, lame, halt, blind, twisted, waiting for the moving of the water. How could a loving Savior, how could a man with a heart full of compassion for the sick, how could the Son of God walk by such a massive humanity, twisted and lame, and we are even taught by historians that they'd stab one another trying to get in the pool first. How could a loving Savior full of love and compassion walk by such a multitude and leave them later and make one man whole? If we'll just say, for instance, he had sugar diabetes. How could he do that? The Jews just questioned him a little later. Read that on down, read the chapter. And you'll find out when they were in question about him on the Sabbath and so forth, listen what he said. St. John 5, 19 and 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing. Whatsoever the Father doeth, he showeth the Son. And these things doeth the Son also, and he'll show you greater things in the healing of this diabetic, that you may marvel. Jesus plainly stated that there wasn't one thing that he did without first he saw the Father doing. Is that right? Then he took on himself, you see, to give all credit to the Spirit, God. See? And that's the reason he passed by. Watch, he knew the man. Watch the resurrection of Lazarus. When he kept going away and him saying for him to come pray for Lazarus, he went away. The Father had showed him a vision what was going to happen. And then when he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, they said, if he sleepeth, he'd do as well. He said, he's dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. But I go with him. Look at him at the grave. Father, I said not this because thou hearest me always. He said, but I said it because these are standing by. God had showed him a vision what was going to happen. According to the Bible and Jesus' own words, he did not do one thing without first the Father showing him by a vision what to do. Is that right? How many believe that's true now? Read it, St. John 5:19-20. You see, Jesus said, I can do nothing within myself, but what I see the Father doing, that I do also. Then if Jesus Christ, he said, the things that I do, shall you do also. A little while the world sees me no more, yet you'll see me, the church, the believer, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Making Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then if his Spirit is with us tonight, and with the church in this day, that same Spirit that was upon Jesus Christ will be doing the same thing today that it did yesterday, because it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? The world misunderstood it. The world called it psychology. The world called it the chief of devils. But the world will always call it that. But the church knows him to be the Son of God. You see what I mean? That's the reason that people misunderstand. Theological teachings and so forth, they get their books of rules and get them out and look it over and say, this is the way it's supposed to be. This and that. But no matter if it's what man says, it's what God says about it. And then if God confirms that to be the truth, then we believe God is truth. Is that right? The Lord bless you, Christian friends. I want to start and pray. The only way I know to do is let Brother Baxter stand up here, some of the men at this place, and just line them up as they possibly can come through the line, and I'll pray for as many people as I can. I love you. There'll be people when I come next June that's sitting right here, won't be here then. A mass of people here, they said the hall seat about 1,700 or 1,800. There's probably 200 or 300 standing, close to 2,000 people then are in the meeting. And a group of people like this, some of the young people, perhaps may be killed in accidents. Some of them may be stricken down and killed. The older people, many of them, their days are about finished and will be gone. There's people here that I'll never see no more until I see you at the judgment seat of Christ. That's right. So when I stand there, as I did 5 years ago standing here in Edmonton, I say again tonight, I'm not ashamed of my testimony because Jesus Christ has confirmed it around the world now. And they know it everywhere. That is true. Now, that because if the angel of the Lord had his picture taken, how many have seen that in the picture of it too? You mean there's no one here, just about one man that's ever seen that picture that was taken down in the United States and set in Washington, D.C. tonight, the only supernatural being they claim has ever photographed in all the world, and they have a copyrighted up there? You never seen it. Well, that was in a discussion at Houston, Texas, when it was taken. Now, we get back to June in June. Now to you sick people. Buddy, my brother, you sitting there dying with cancer, and many others here in the building suffering likewise, heart trouble and so forth. I ask you this tonight, as your brother who loves you, and realizing that my life may be taken way before any of yours, I don't know. Only God knows. But here, if you will believe this, I say this with my Bible, and here's how much I believe. I believe this with all my heart, knowing that I'm talking to the purchase of the blood of Christ. God sent me into the world to pray for the sick people. As he sent other men to preach the gospel and so forth, I was sent to pray for sick people as the angel of the Lord spoke. You don't have to question that no more. That's confirmed the man among as many as 10 million people tonight. And that's the truth. Kings, potentates, monarchs, congressmen. How many heard the healing of Congressman Upshaw in the United States? 66 years in England, made perfectly whole. I just stand there in a vision, saw what was taking place. And he was healed and made perfectly whole. Now, if you believe tonight, I'll step down here and pray for you. And when you come to, it isn't my prayer, friends. That isn't it. See, what I'm trying to get you to do when you come to is believe that Jesus healed you and he sent us to pray for you that you might get well. And how many people are in this building tonight that was healed in the meeting when I was here before that's still healed tonight? Let's see your hands. How many in here was healed in the meeting? Look here. Just look over the building here. 30, 40, 50 hands from that meeting from when he left 5 years ago. Young man, in 5 years from tonight, would you like to be raising your hand, saying you was the one who healed at that time? Look, I want to say something to you. There's some lepers said at the gate one time, at Samaria, when it was besieged by the Syrians. They said, why do we sit here till we die? They were starving to death. He was eating one another's children in the city. They said, if we sit here, we die. If we go in the city, we die. So if the only hope that we have is go down to the Samaritans, if they save us, we live. But if they kill us, we die. Well, we're going to die anyhow, so let's take a chance on going down. You know the story. And they never only saved themselves, but God rewarded them with that faith until they saved the whole city of Samaria. Now, you're sitting in the same place that they sit. Many of you along here in this crippled and afflictions laying on these cots and things here. See? You're in the same place. You're not expected to go to the camp of the enemy, but you're invited to the home of your Father tonight to come and believe with a Christ, the bloody atonement laying there before the Father tonight to make good your confession in Him. Jesus sits at the right hand of God to make intercessions upon your confession. You've got to accept it, believe it, and confess it so to make it an act of faith. If you do that, if you, the doctor's done all he can do, everything else has done all they can do, you too, sister, and you too, young man, you, all that can be done is already done. There's nothing can be done out in medical aid. Well, if they've done all they can do, then there's only one hope left for you, and that's in Jesus Christ. Take it. Believe it. Hold on to it. Say, God, if others can, I can too. And you're my God as soon as you were there. And my brother, you look like a healthy man tonight. And God, my judge, of the people that I've seen our Father heal so far beyond you, you look like an athlete inside of some of them that's been healed. How many seen a picture of Florence Nightingale that was down in London, England, when she only weighed about 37 pounds? She couldn't even move her hand or nothing. Cancer on the duodenum of the stomach. While standing there praying for her, a little dove flew in, sat down on the window, began to go back and forth, the cooing when I raised up. The ministers began to say, did you see the dove? I see the dove, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke and said, thus saith the Lord. He'll live and not die until he's 155 pounds in perfect health. Now, the God that saved Florence Nightingale, the great granddaughter of the late Florence Nightingale, the founder of the Red Cross, can save your life tonight. Can save your life tonight. Yours, and many of the rest of you out there are still it. Believe it, will you? Ministers of God, as children of God, stand with me. This is I've just come in from being away, and there's so many here to be prayed for. I want to pray for everyone that I can. Brother Baxter, when I walk down to here to pray for the sick, will you have the people to line up? I believe and come, let this, I'll come this way and then have the upstairs. You just arrange.
We're sorry to have to break in on the service like this, but these cars must be moved. There's quite a number of them, so listen carefully. I'm only going to repeat them once. 23F44, 56B91, 87410, 97075, 95F77, 91C60, 70G53, 14C88, 35K90. Must be moved. Now, just how we're going to organize this with so much congestion, I don't know. But if we can have the line form over here and come down here and return to the seats. Now, that's going to mean that these folks standing along here are going to have to help us by moving, if they will. How many in the first half of this section want to be prayed for? How many in the first half of this section you want to be prayed for? Now, listen. Unless you believe that it's God's will to heal you and you're coming with that kind of faith, don't waste your time and don't waste Brother Branham's time and don't waste the time of other people. Because there are all kinds of people who want to be prayed for. You're coming with a firm confidence that God's going to do something for you tonight, then come. We're happy to minister to you. But don't come and treat Brother Branham like a rabbit's foot or a four-leaf clover, something you're going to touch and get a sort of a magic shock. He's God's servant to pray for you on the basis of a solid faith in Jesus Christ. We're sorry to have to move those people, awfully sorry, but if we're going to pray for the sick at all, it's going to have to be done. I wonder if we can have them moved back to that man that is standing. Will you stand, sir, again? You just started to stand. Will you stand and become a sort of a signpost? Just remain now, please. If the people back to that man would move down, please. Would you mind moving out one way or the other? No, you remain there, sir, will you? No, I want you to stay there. You're my signpost. I want the people from you forward to move. All right, you people can start forming a line. Brother Al, start the people forming a line from the front row here. Now, we're going to have your absolute cooperation if we're going to get this done. That's right.
Can we have prayer?
Would you give us a hand down there for me, brethren, please? That's right. I'm going to try to get you all prayed, Father. We'll have to do it systematically.
Father, the doctors forming this line, or they're forming a line. Dear Christian friends, I trust that your faith goes up now to God, that many things may be did here tonight, and don't just come for that purpose, but come believing. Now, whatever it tells you to do, you do it. And if it speaks, no matter what it is, you go ahead and do just what it said, and I'll be responsible for the outcome of it. I'm just going to start praying for the sick.
Just as many as we can have just now. We'll get you all. We don't need to panic or be in a hurry.
What time is the closing time on here? 10 o'clock?
We don't know, but it'll be later than that. I think that's enough up now, please, if no more will come. And then, brethren, as you move as quietly and as quickly as you see the line is coming through, and bring the others out without any upset. All right, so bow our hearts as Brother Branham prays.
Our Heavenly Father, thinking just now of a lovely one coming down from the mountain, a father brought a boy, said, Lord, he's seriously vexed with the devil. He falls in the fire and in the water, realizing today that we would call it epilepsy. Nothing seemed to be able to do him any good. Jesus said, do you believe? But I can, if you believe, for all things are possible to them that believe. And this music is now sweeping out the ears of the people. I'm thinking of our good friend, Paul Rader, the writer. All things are possible to them that believe. Now here is people that's dying, Lord. Realizing that before God we have to answer our deeds that's done in this body. And this hurry up rest time, the hour of getting late. Many, as we pass through the line, may they be healed, Lord, every one. Grant just now that the angel of God may come near. And may he bless every one that's been prayed for,
yes,
and will be prayed for. For he said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Grant, Lord, that those things might be said and done tonight, and there might be a great result from this meeting.
Yeah,
and we'll leave it to you, Father. And seemingly there's a lovely spirit among the people,
amen,
ready for a revival. Then, Lord, grant this as a go-light for us, as it was. We'll return back then, if it's your will, for a great revival. Well, you can take time one by one. Pray for many hundreds and thousands of people that's in need here in Western Canada. Just now, may the Holy Spirit come near and respect the prayer of your servant,
amen,
while we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now, as you people come by, please listen carefully for about 10 seconds. As you come by and Brother Branham prays for you, go directly to the seat that you came from. It's the only way we can keep from congestion. Come believing, go away praising God, and then expect anything to happen. Don't be surprised at what happens. Brother Brown will just be a few moments with the first two, and then as he moves into the Spirit, people will come more rapidly. Immediately the vision comes to Brother Branham and discerns this man's condition. Brother Brown speaks to this man. Let's softly, to encourage our faith now, bring an atmosphere of the presence of God in among us. Let's sing softly, only believe. How many are believing tonight? How many believe that God can do these kind of things? All right, turn your faith loose now. Join your faith together. Let's sing it softly.
Of his body tonight be taken from him, and may he go and be a well man from this hour on. May he be able to eat and to live without fear and be a man like he used to be. And be healed and well in the name of thy Son Jesus Christ. I ask this blessing. Amen. Now just a moment, my brother. I just want to speak to you just a moment. Now you just look right at me. Now, when you come here a few moments ago, I never seen you in my life, know nothing about you. You know, I just live. I never seen you. But here the Holy Spirit tells you what's wrong, what you've done, how it all acted. Is that right? If that's right, raise up your hand for me. Now, without knowing you or anything, now, you believe you to be his prophet then? If you believe that's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you know what the woman had done at the well, you know what, where a man was under the tree praying when he just told you just now what you'd done a few days ago at your room. Isn't that right? Told you just what you were doing and everything. That's right. That's right. Now, if that be so, then if I be God's servant, I know what will be. Is that right? Now, you go home. You just eat what you want to. God has healed you, and you're going to be a well man. And every ailment that's been named as your body is going to be well. Now, you believe that? Now, the God that could show what was certainly knows what will be. Is that right? Now you're healed. The Lord bless you. Go home and be well now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's just say thanks be to God, everyone, if you will. See, the Lord Jesus is here to make well and to heal. Now, you see, the man I knew not. But the Holy Spirit comes here and tells him what's his trouble, what he's been doing, what he was doing day before yesterday at a certain place at a certain time. Revealed all those things to him, tell him what it was, and he picked it up right here at the microphone. Goes wrong now. I had prayer for him. It was just like looking to me, as I might explain it, just like looking on something. The man faded away and got real little. And seen as a little boy, and just was down along like that for 2 lives. And then it moved away. When I had prayer, I didn't know what would happen. I just asked our Heavenly Father. He told him about his condition. He's got a prostate trouble that's caused him to have a nervous disorder. And he also causes him to get up at night, told him about going to the bath. You who live in his neighborhood, see if that isn't right now. See if that isn't. Now, he is here. Now, Christians, there isn't a person in the building. But what that would happen to. But if we take each patient like that, you know how long we'd be here? About 3 weeks for getting the people that's here to be prayed for through. Now, how many believe with all your heart that I believe Brother Brandon, you told the truth and God's confirmed it? You believe it, man? Now, I wonder if you Christians will join with me in prayer while this whole entire audience joins in prayer while I pray. And some of the ministers here along the line also lay your hands on the sick. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and so forth. If the Holy Spirit should stop on something, I'll be glad to do it. But I won't be able to get the people prayed for unless I start praying for them. And, of course, it catches the person's eyes. It starts right into discernment, of course, immediately as soon as the person comes up. And now, I want you to pray with me. And how many up there will pledge that you'll pray all over the building while we're praying and singing Only Believe? Would you pray? Raise your hand. And would you people along the line believe if we just ask God, God will do it? Do you believe it? Raise up your hands if you do. All right. I'm not a bother. All right.
Now, move right along, folks, as Brother Brown prays for you. Go away from here and make your confession on the basis of the Word of God. For what God has promised, He's doing. If Brother Branham tells you to do something, you do it. He says, go home and eat anything, you go home and eat. Don't be afraid. Do what you've been told. Jack, let's sing, I Need Thee, shall we? All over the audience, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Come on, with our heads bowed, our hearts in prayer, all together. I need thee, oh. Take up your confession and hold that confession fast, firm unto the end. The end of what? The end of whatever's bothering you. Just stay with your confession. God's got to honor that confession.
Lord God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you heal our sister. May she go tonight and be made whole in Jesus Christ's name.
don't doubt it. God be merciful to our brother. I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you heal him and make him well. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Please don't sit by seriously, Christian. Don't do that. It just creates a cold spirit up here. Every born again believer on praying ground. You can pray with your eyes open, but keep your spirit active before God. Keep in prayer. The people here that have only got hours and days joyous. And the concentrated prayer of a bunch of praying people tonight can change their whole future. That's how important it is. Please keep your spirit in prayer.
God bless you. Consider the Lord with all your heart.
Lord Jesus, I pray for this woman that you will heal her. Grant that your blessings come upon her and she'll be made well through Jesus Christ's name. But lady, don't fear no more. Go believing now.
Brother Branham says, don't fear. He means that. Don't be afraid of the thing anymore. When you wake up tomorrow morning, throw out that fear. It tells you to be afraid of the thing that's got hold of you.
I just want to say, there's so many people passing through here that's suffering with mental oppression. Demon, not a possession, but oppression. Satan. I've seen a vision break before me. The young lady, she went back there and sat down a few minutes ago. The things that she's crossed the separating line. Don't let Satan tell you that. As long as you love God, God still loves you. There has to be a creator to create that creation in your heart to make you love God. Don't believe that. You go believing with all your heart that Christ loves you. Suffer the same thing. Lord Jesus, I pray that you make her well. May she go tonight healed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I just go thanking God and you'll get well, sister. Father, I pray that you'll heal our sister and make her well as I lay hands on her in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear Lord, I pray for our sister that you heal and make her well. In the name of our son, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, sister. Lord God, creator of heavens and earth, send our blessings upon our sister and heal her. In the name of our son, Jesus. God bless you, sister. The Bible said these signs shall follow them. Saint Mary's give it all around. Lord, I pray that you'll heal our sister. May she go from here tonight and be made well. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, sister.
You have been prayed for. Take your testimony to your local church. Don't hide your light under a bushel now. When your healing is manifest, you take your testimony to your church. Let the people know about it and hold it fast.
God, I pray that you will heal our brother to make our through the name of our son Jesus Christ. God bless you, brother. I pray, Father, that you will heal our brother to make through the name of our son, Jesus Christ, I have this
Thank you.
Brother Branham prays for this young man so desperately in need. Every heart died in prayer. Remember, sympathy won't heal. It takes faith and the power of God. Our sympathy goes out to these people, but that's not enough. It takes an active confidence in God.
One of them had a growth on her neck. and one of them had a stomach trouble. It was in a different type of praying meditation, and they were telling about what their conditions were. Once in a while, you hear the Holy Spirit stop the people and tell them what they thought. But I'm trying to get everyone prayed for a while in here tonight. And this lady, she was told to go home. She's going to get well with a big girl for her neck. And the other one was told that it actually knows of him. And she had a stomach trouble. Told her she's going to get well, go home and eat what she wanted. Well, that she tried to do. And for about 6 weeks, it was horrible. Everything she did, she down and got up. And one morning, she was standing washing the dishes. And she said, it felt like something went over her. Cool. She didn't know what had happened. In a few moments, she felt like crying, so she started weeping. And she said, got real hungry, and she tried to eat a little piece of toast, and usually she just vomited up, and it didn't come up. Then she ate some oats that was at the table. And they were all right, but she drank a cup of coffee. It was all right. Then she said, I'm going to eat a good hearty breakfast. It was all right. She was so happy, she ran down to tell her neighbor woman, the one that had a lump on her throat, what had just happened. And her neighbor woman was just screaming to the top of her voice, the lump had just went off of her throat. And now, that was weeks later. What had happened? Please, please, please. If I can get a picture here's one. Do you remember when Daniel the prophet, there was an angel who followed him? How many know that's true? That angel of God. And Daniel prayed one time, I believe it was about 21 days before the angel could. Is that right, Doctor? Is that right? But he believed. Now, what had happened? A blessing had been pronounced upon those people. And when, now that blessing, if I'm telling the truth, which I don't think you have room to doubt, God has testified to you. Just as soon as you walk in ministry and be baptized there in the pool, your baptism is just crucial. You believe that you were baptized, wouldn't you? And Christian baptism. It wasn't the minister that he was ordained to do so. Well, that's just the way I was sent to pray for you, that if you reject me, you watch what happens. Here's a place, it's God's place.